immediately after his instruction, Jesus again assures his disciples, "And lo, I am with you all the days until the close of the eon." Not only does Christ here emphasize by contrast the need for divine power to give emphasis and protect the human endeavor, the concluding sentence of Matthew's Gospel is an artistic and pointed reminder of the citation from Isaiah at the beginning of the Gospel. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." The primary person of the Gospel calls God with us in the initial chapter, promises to be with you, and also with us, his followers, as disciples are added amongst all nations. How are acceptable people, then and now, able to carry out the commission of Christ's command to his church? Again, the meaning of making disciples just divine power. The two participles, that present tense and give back tense, or without the definite article, just denoting circumstantial and adverbial use. That is, disciples are to be added to the church by baptizing in the name of the Triune God and by teaching all things which Jesus commanded. The means of making disciples in Greek are by sacrament and by word. The only means by which the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of humans. People are saved by God's grace through faith, structure, system. Jesus has accomplished everything for us. The Holy Spirit works faith in us. The power of persuasion and the success of evangelistic endeavors comes from above. To overcome the hesitation and the doubts of natural man. The conversion of sinners is God's gift and power. Our faith in Ephesians 2:9 and our faithful stewardship in Ephesians 2:10 in carrying out Christ's commission as a gift from God. It is also pertinent to note the use of the back center rather than to reach context in the Great Commission. To carry out Christ's command through proclamation and public preaching is not enough. Constant and consistent toil of teaching is imperative. The word the Gospel has a wide connotation in Greek literature, denoting the impartation not only of knowledge, opinions, and facts, but also of artistic and technical skills, all of which are to be applied systematically and thoroughly as a result of the repeated activity of both teachers and pupils. Herodotus, for example, employs the Gospel to describe the work of a chorus master, one who trained the chorus in ancient Greek drama. In the New Testament, the Gospel occurs basically in two senses. In the Gospel and in Acts, primarily to address people in teaching them those things which God requires of the whole person. In the Gospel and in 2 Thessalonians, mainly to hand down a form of doctrine to be mastered and preserved in time. That the power of teaching is imperative, and following Christ's commission is clear, furthermore, from the phrase, "Teaching them to observe all things as many as I have commanded you." What did Jesus teach during his earthly ministry? The nature of God? God's will for humans? God's activity in history, his plan of salvation, his kingdom, his judgment for eternity. We today, as we prepare to serve our Lord, are to bear in mind the pertinent point of Christ's commission. The word and sacrament are the only means of judging the church. Discipleship implies total commitment to the cause of Christ. Constant and consistent toil is required. The message must be all inclusive of what our Lord teaches. Final evaluation will be based on the content of evangelistic endeavors. In the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, we are to be as gold, silver, precious stone, rather than wood, hay, grass. The success of our human endeavor is measured by inner spiritual growth and is the result of divine power and of our Emmanuel, our God with us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.